Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Playhouse for this February 6th, 2025, session 58. Your host, program director here, James J. Maloff. I'm here with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager.
You got the name right. I was hoping, you know, that's what I keep telling myself. Yeah, Director's Playhouse, Director's Playhouse. Yeah, we'll make sure we get it for this one.
Only our second show with this new name, the new branding. And great to have you back, brother. Great to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. Yeah.
We appreciate you. And we appreciate you out there listening and promoting this show. Thank you so much to everybody out there. With this show, we continue the civic series, an idea of ours that we had where we give a chance to get to know our civic media family a little bit better. And today, we are going to center in and focus on WFHR here. And our listeners, we ask the best listeners in radio to come. Welcome to the WFHR stage. We have our head scheduler, our the head of the office, the decorator, the world's best card giver, the heart of WFHR, Pam Hilke, with us today. Pam, good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Appreciate you being here. Nobody that in the last, I would say, 40, 50 years, let alone longer than that, can talk about WFHR and not mention Pam Hilke. Mm-hmm. Like, your impact on this station, this community, is felt and reverberated all over the place in so many different ways. In the job that you're in, you've had a chance to meet just about every local person we've had in this area, let alone local leaders and some of that. So I can't thank you enough for the time to just be able to hang out, talk with you a little bit, and for our audience to get to know you, like Seth and I and so many of us have gotten to know you over the years. If you don't mind, I always like to start with people's origin stories. Where are you from, Pam?
I am from Wisconsin Rapids.
Right on.
Lived here all my life.
Growing up, did you have your family, did you guys have a love for radio?
Well, WFHR was often on the radio at home, at my parents' home. I grew up on the west side, and I just remember WFHR being on the radio. I remember listening to the polka show when I was a youngster. My mom would have the polka show on like 11 o'clock on weekday mornings and hearing the polka show. I remember in the mornings getting ready for school, WFHR would be on. Of course, back then, that was the total information that we had to listen to find out on a blizzard day, is school canceled? You know, is this a no school day or not? That was where we got the information. There was, of course, no internet, no computers, nothing, no texting that came around, of course. My parents had WFHR on. I remember hearing a lot of the songs, you know, growing up in the 60s, some of those classic songs that you would hear on radio stations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every once in a while, I'll hear it now, and I'll say, I remember that when I was a kid.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Yeah. It's interesting how I think radio still has just as many responsibilities. They're just different now. But to think of the responsibilities on radio back in the day and how important and vital it was.
Boy, even when we were kids, James, it was the same thing. It was either TV or radio. Mm-hmm. We always did radio because we didn't turn the TV on in the morning. We always had the radio on. Yeah. Right.
My mom and dad, when it came to school closings or anything, WFHR as soon as we moved here, because they felt like the radio stations got the information sooner than, you know, TV stations, and they just trusted that more, which was great, because we got an impact, like you and your family, impact of WFHR right away. It also was tough because they knew, and we were always hopeful. So if WFHR said that Lincoln was open or Washington was open or something, we knew we were going to school.
Going to school, right. There was a time when the local teachers union for the public schools was on strike, and the strike started like January 1st after their contract had ended. And you know, every day we'd have to listen to find out, oh, is there school today? No school today. It's another day off.
Yeah, there you go.
And sports, listening to sports. I remember listening to, you know, Lincoln High School. I graduated from LHS. And, you know, following those teams on air, you know, the basketball or maybe football. And I do remember listening to wrestling during, you know, high school, because that was the years when our teams were so good in that sport. And, you know, listening to Terry Steak. And I remember him saying, you know, he'd be on at 10:30 in the morning. Well, I'll be back at 11:30. And, you know, you make sure you tune in to hear, okay, how did our people do, you know, at the tournament? And it was that outlet there that, you know, that for so much information.
I have a question I want to ask, but I want to set it up first, Pam. Okay. For those that don't know out there, how long have you been in radio?
Well, I started here in June 1977.
Okay, yeah. So a good 40-some years.
That's a lot of years. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I never had any idea that I would be working at my job here.
Well, that's where I wanted to go with it, was you started in this. This has been your career pretty much
right,
your whole life.
It turned out to be.
So when you first got, when you first went to school, what were you going to school for? Was it for radio? Was it for something?
No, I went to Mid-State and I had a 2-year degree in accounting. And about a month after I graduated, it was June of 1977, this is it. I graduated. I got to find a job. Go forward with life. Mm-hmm. And there was a little ad in the local Daily Tribune newspaper for immediate opening for a traffic coordinator at the local radio stations, WFHR and WWRW. And it said detail, no need attention to detail and accuracy and a little bit of data processing and... Well, I didn't know anything about a job in a radio station. I didn't know anything about a traffic coordinator, but I, got a time to come in for an interview. And I remember I had an interview with Jack Gennaro, the general manager at the time. And it was a Friday afternoon. And I remember I talked with the program directors at the time. And it was Arnie Strope and Scott Chapin. He was the program director for our FM station, and they offered me the job, and I started right up the next Monday right away.
Wow.
So,
did you, when you were applying for the job, did you think you had a good shot at it?
After a couple hours of an interview and they offered me the job right away, I thought, well, that sounds like,
I better take this job. You better go for it, exactly.
And little did I know. So.
Little did you know.
I'm curious because I forget this, as long as we've known each other, that you and I both pretty much started in radio the same way. My mother found an article in the Daily Tribune and told me about it. And when I applied for the job, I just thought it'd be cool to apply for the job. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I'd ever get hired. I didn't think I had a resume built for it or anything like that. And, here we are. I find it interesting that you went to school for one thing and found a way to adapt to radio with that career, with that education. It speaks to a lot of us here. There's very few people in the building, and really even in the last 10, 20 years, who have gotten into radio and found a career and a passion for it,
right,
but didn't necessarily go to school for it right away. It speaks to, I think, to also the one of my favorite things about radio and how so many different walks of life can come into this and find a career and a real future to them. And so many people looking for careers instead of jobs, you find that in radio oftentimes. When you first started here, I imagine you're not thinking, well, here I am the next 40 years,
right. No.
Those early days, did you enjoy kind of being behind the scenes? You mentioned you listened to WFHR from a young age.
I did, right, because then I got a chance to see a little bit of what was happening and meet some of the people that I'd heard on air. And I remember I didn't know that sometimes people wouldn't use their real names on air. I remember growing up in here, and Arnie Strope, that was his real name. And then there was another person, his name was Jack Edwards. And then I heard him called by another name, and it's like, wasn't this the same person? That's it. Sometimes people don't use their real names on air.
Right.
So maybe that was more common back then. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those big shifts that I think happened in radio. And I don't know if there's necessarily like pinpoint you could say this is when it happened.
No.
But I would say a lot of the rise of the shock jock and some of that stuff, where a lot of those guys were using their real given names.
Yep.
And you just saw it kind of go from there almost. And where audiences wanted things to go.
Right. Of course, some of us probably should be using different names instead of our hard to pronounce names. But that's where we go.
Pam will remember remember, and longtime listeners of the area will remember, but we for a long time on WGLX had a great personality in Ace. And Ace's,
right.
Ace's real name is Paul. But forever, I would call him like Gene or something like that. Or so one of the other names in the band of Kiss or something
right,
like that.
Yeah, and, perfect. Yeah.
It took forever for me to just call him Paul. Like it was the right. weirdest thing.
And Paul?
I would know it when I was saying it. Paul was just great about it and everything. Never gave me a hard time, but it was something that would come up from time to time. Pam, we share a lot of what we do behind the scenes with the audience. We let them know a lot of how the sausage is made. I don't think we get a chance to really do this with you and your job. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, could you take us through kind of a day in the life of the work that you do?
Sure. Well, one of my main jobs is to make sure that the commercials that are ordered and scheduled for tomorrow get scheduled on the proper logs. Now, the log is, every radio station has a log of some kind. Here we've got a WFHR and we've got a WIRI log. And it's just a basic, for me, what I'm working in my software system in my computer is making sure that the commercials get placed into the areas in the log where we are allowed to run commercial advertising. Mm-hmm. And I work on traffic systems that are built up to accommodate the commercial breaks that fall into all the programming that's already set up. And that's part of another, you know, computer mm-hmm. system. So mm-hmm. we're talking about a lot of computer systems merging together and working right and all that. So, but predominantly I make sure the logs get properly worked up, all the commercials are inserted where they need to be, and mm-hmm. look, you know, the computers do a lot of the work, but you know, there's other things that, you know, you have to tackle. If there's, say, a game tomorrow night, I have to make sure I insert a game log. It's a separate little log mm-hmm. that goes inside the big log, so it's kind of blocks out all the regular commercials, but it puts in the game and it sets it up so that it's got the format that works with the Learfield, where we might get, say, the men's hockey game, mm-hmm. and all the sponsors and commercials go right in. And I number all of our audio commercials, a lot of our PSAs, promo announcements, they all have a personal identification, and that's called a copy number. Mm-hmm. And I number those. Every piece of audio that's coming on new gets copy number, and make sure that there's an identifier with it. I need to put that into the computer system so that when it goes on the log, it's got its little ID number. And then whoever is going to be recording that piece of audio, they use that number and attach the audio to that in the system that holds all the audio, so that when it's called for on the log, it plays the right commercial. Mm-hmm. So now, that's just logs.
That's just logs. I was going to say, the logs and that part of it.
Real quick, I want to say how important that is, because, of course, the commercials are the lifeblood mm-hmm. of radio. That's how we get our revenue, right? That's how we get up. So because we have a contract with whoever we're doing that commercial for, we have to make very careful that we play the right number of ads at the right time, that sort of thing. Right. That's why the logs and what Pam does is so important, is because that's, you know, that's the stuff. That's what we need.
And radio can be difficult. It is it is literally putting the boat together on the water while you're paddling. Mm-hmm. Live radio is just that way, and we kind of understand and work around that, and we've shared a lot of that with the audience. There is that, and then you're trying to do that in the future. You're trying to do that for tomorrow and next week and everything, in an industry that, again, is on the water and constantly changing.
Right.
Just the adapting and the shifting mm-hmm. you have to do on an hourly, let alone daily basis. I want the audience to understand a little bit more. And honestly, it's part of the interview here, is for people to understand so much of the work that goes on behind the scenes to make these things happen. We're not here without our advertisers. We're just not, there's nobody doing this job. And people don't get into radio for money anyway, let alone if we're not getting paid. How much it means to them then, not only have these things played, but played when, hey, our sales team tells them it's going to play at this time, and it does because of the work Pam does.
Right.
It's so vital to this. And again, we are merely touching on one of her main jobs, not even 100% like the amount of things that she does around here.
Right.
Because you're also the main scheduler for our Midday magazine.
Help schedule the guests for magazine.
You're our go-to when it comes to literally anything going on. And you're such the bellwether of this station, and such of the and something else that I don't think gets talked about nearly enough. And I touched on this early in the day when I started doing Midday Magazine, but this amazing connection that you and Carl had, and ability that you guys had when you were doing Midday. And it's something you do with all of our guests. People come in here and they have their lives going on and craziness and whatever might be happening. They come in and they settle down, and you have a calm and a presence to you that sets the tone. So when they join us on the airwaves on the morning show with Seth or I, or on Midday Magazine or any of our shows, by the time they get in the studio, they are calm and collected. And that is better for our audience. That is what works here. This is a system that I don't think you could put it right down, hey, we're going to do this, this, and this. It's just something that you guys created organically. And it's something not only we appreciate and our guests appreciate, but I know our listeners do, whether they realize it or not. Because you'd have very different guests coming in and a very different atmosphere.
Yeah, it would be different.
With that.
So, yes, it's so nice to meet all these different people that are coming into our studio. And we have a number of people that come quite frequently, and then some people that are maybe once or twice a year, or or we find out that there's an event going on or a benefit or whatever. We somehow get contacted, or, you know, we find out about it and we reach out and say, hey, would you be interested in coming on, you know, on air for a short while and be part of our Midday Magazine? And I get things lined up. You know, and they're here.
Yeah, in many ways, Pam is the face of these stations, because they're the first. She's the first person that people see when they come in the door, and she greets them, and, you know, finds out what they need, along with the guests, of course. Any guests that we have that are going to be on whatever show we're doing, right? So that's part of it too. Is that, and I don't know if you signed up for that,
but it's kind of evolved,
right? It kind of evolved into that throughout the many years you've been here.
When it comes to programming, I can't imagine how long the interview would be if we asked you about all the different changes from when you first started to now.
That would be a book. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who's writing that book? Yeah.
And honestly, I personally would love to do that. But for time sensitiveness and how we know we all got to get back to things, I'm curious of how what are the biggest changes to you that are from when you started to now, in as far as the programming goes and the scheduling?
I think as far as the programming, it's just been just the way our stations have evolved over the years. Mm-hmm. Everything isn't always the same. WFHR has certainly changed. It's back when I first started, there was a whole lot of, well, nearly every hour that we were on air, there was a show host, announcer. And I do believe when I first started that we like went off air at 2 a.m. and came back on air at 5 a.m. So, you know, there was a time when we weren't on air, but every hour was hosted by a show, and you had to have somebody in here running the board. There was no totally automated part of that. The FM side that we had was WWRW, and it was called W103. It was a little bit easier to pronounce.
Yeah, that's not easy to do, right?
And that was just music. I forget which exact format it was. Adult Contemporary, I believe. And at that time, the music was on reels. And there was at least like four reels of different songs and everything on there. And the announcers had to make sure that they kept changing those reels. They'd run out after a while. These reels would run out, and they'd race back to the system that was playing that, and the music loaded up. And we had different systems that would play the commercials. It was somewhat automated, but there was different systems that you had to load all the commercials in these carts, and they got played. And in the WFHR side, they had the carts in the studio, and you just had a whole stack of carts. And as you went down the paper log, you had to pull all your carts out by number and get them all ready. And when you're running the board and on air, then take a break, and you'd be pulling all these carts and putting them into the cart machine and playing. So
yes.
That's a whole lot different than it is now.
We still call them cart numbers, actually.
Right, that's still
from that day when they were actual cartridges, right?
Pam, so. I have to ask a couple of tough questions here and there. And okay. So I got to ask a tough
one. We'll
get
it over with here.
Yeah, just pull it off. Do you have some favorite moments? Do you have some moments that really stand out to you in your time here at WFHR?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. There's a lot. I don't know if I would say moments, but I think it's just thinking of all the people that I've met, all the people that I've worked with, and all the people that have come through as guests and been on the station, you know, as our on-air guest, or they were a guest of somebody else that was working here, you know, getting a tour of the place or meeting. But I think just all the wonderful people that, you know, like I said, that I've met along the way and, you know, got a chance to know, or just famous people, maybe that, you know, somebody, maybe I believe Mr. Cole was here one time, Herb Cole. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
You've told me about like baseball players when, you know, the Brewers players that you've met over the years.
Yes, the Brewers, they used to be on their winter tour and they would stop into the, it was prearranged, they'd be into the office here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a photo with Carl and I and Jim Gantner.
So many moments over the years, I can only imagine. And like any of us that answer this question, it always comes down to the people. It's always about
it really
people.
Does, yeah.
Pam, just a couple of more quick questions and we'll let you get going. It's outside of radio. Do you have other hobbies, other things that you like to do?
You know what? I sometimes think that my life is so busy, I don't have a whole lot of time for different hobbies, but I like to follow the Wisconsin teams and the sports. I was forever having the Brewers on radio all the time, listening to that. I like to listen to the Packers, the Badgers games. I'll have the games on in the evenings and listening to the games or on the weekend. I like to, I guess, fiber arts. I enjoy sewing or crocheting, knitting, those kind of little arts and crafts. I'm involved with some organizations in my local church at St. Luke's Lutheran in Wisconsin Rapids.
Very cool.
Like to get out, enjoy the countryside on Sundays, go for a ride out in the country.
Drive in the country on Sundays. Right. Nothing better than that, especially in the summertime.
A few things better than cruising on a Sunday.
That's right.
Pam, you made it to the last question. Here it is, but it is probably the toughest one.
It usually is.
If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who and why?
You know, I've heard you ask that to other people, so I thought, I better think about this.
You should. You should have thought about this.
You know what? I think Princess Diana.
I remember
her when she was getting married, and she was so young and marrying into that, the
craziness,
the royal family. And, you know, she was just somebody that, at my age, that, you know, we were looking up to her, you know?
Yeah.
She was going to be the queen, or so we thought. But, yeah, I think just she was just such a neat,
there was something,
neat
she
person.
Was, yeah, there was something about her that was electric, even if you never met her. There was something about her that pulled you in. And I think something comforting about her in many ways. And I've gone back and watched some interviews and some things with her, pieces on her and everything. And I tried to think of what it is. Is it, you know, her dying young and some of these things? And no, it's that kind of adds to the, or is a part of her, you know, story.
Yeah, the mystique and her.
But like so many people we lose at a young age, I think that wouldn't have mattered. Her legacy would still be,
right.
just be stronger if anything she had been around. Mm-hmm. The kind of impact she had at the time that she did too was so key to so many. And it just seemed like an amazing person. I remember seeing her early on in her career, and she's, you know, being introduced to some formal meeting or something like that, and all these heads, these big names in England are there, and she sees Rowan Atkins, Mr. Bean.
Yeah, the actor, right?
And at the time, he was more famous for Blackadder.
Right.
And she's doing her job. She's being very professional. All this. Mm-hmm. She sees him and becomes a fan instantly. It just breaks down like, oh my God, it's Rowan! And she was so excited to meet him and everything, and I think that story speaks so much to what we liked about her
humanity.
Yeah,
it was really, it really came through. Yep.
And it's a similar thing with you, Pam. I call you the heart of WFHR
because you are
the heart of this station. So many of the things we've talked about, and we didn't even have a chance to really scratch the surface on you.
That's
not
true.
Only the things you do around here, but the impact you've had not just on our station, on our community, but on myself and so many of us around here. I am honored and privileged to call you a friend, as along with a coworker and family, really. You are to me a family. So I appreciate the time, Pam.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I just truly love working with everyone, mm-hmm. with James and Seth and Laura and Melissa and Beth and Ashley and Chuck. And
we got a good team.
That's yep. right.
Yeah, we're really spoiled around
That's
here.
Why Sports we got to get
guys,
more of them on
right.
here. You got to interview more of the team around here.
And as good as she is, she just teed us up for
she
that.
She did. Oh, yes, yes. It was great.
Yeah. We will be having more guests joining us throughout the Civic Series. Thank you so much, Pam, for the time. Appreciate
You're
you.
You're welcome. And there's Tim and Mike and Randy. I think I got everybody. I've got a little list. Yes. I hope I didn't forget anyone.
All right. There we go.
Great list. Great list. Thank you,
I'd like to thank the Academy.
You're welcome.
We will take a quick time out and we'll come back. We've got a special piece for you coming up to wrap up Director's Playhouse.
Here we go.
Got yourself there.
WFHR.